This is Margaret Friedenauer in the KHNS Newsroom. We are news from the Upper Lincolnel and Southeast region every weekday from Monday evening through Friday morning. On Monday mornings, we feature NPR Business News. And on Friday evenings, we bring you the Alaska Fisheries Report. We have a wrap-up of that week's local news on Saturday's Lincolnel Weekend. And you can always listen to your news on your time and anytime by going to khns.org. Thanks for listening. The Haynesboro manager releases a budget that deals with reduced revenues, and Sea Alaska appoints a new member to its board. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. It's a busy week at the Haynesboro as the budget is released, property assessments are again at issue, and the assembly convenes a hearing about the police chief. The manager's budget was released Monday afternoon. The worry is how the borough proposes dealing with a substantial loss of federal and state funds. Manager Mark Ernest recently estimated the borough could lose nearly $750,000 in revenue, and his budget will propose how to balance that with expenses. In a letter presenting his budget, Ernest said he incorporated several themes when developing it, such as recognizing the continuing reduction in major state and federal funding sources, recognizing the borough will need to rely on internal funding or financing for the majority of its capital projects, and continuing appropriating funds to address the backlog of deferred maintenance. He also writes the borough needs to begin reducing borough personnel, programs, and services in recognition of all these funding factors. Some of the important points gleaned from the budget on Monday include what Ernest calls modest increases in employer contributions. Also, within the general fund, Ernest proposes a reduction in the property tax mill rate to keep the total property tax revenue slightly above this year's. He also proposes a land development plan for cataloging and assessing potential borough land sales. And for the first time, the Haynes Library is shown as a department of the borough in the 2014 budget. Perhaps most apparent to some residents would be Ernest's recommendation that the Haynes Pool and Museum be budgeted for 9 months of operation. He also proposes budgeting the executive assistant to the manager position for 9 months. The complete budget is online at the Haynesboro website, and we'll have more on this story with more detail in the coming days. For the early part of this week, some borough staff and residents are also tied up with giving depositions in a wrongful death case against the borough. The civil charges were brought against the borough last year in the drowning death of Andrew Williamson. The 14-year-old drowned while attempting to swim near Port Chilcoot Dock. The Williamson family is suing the borough for negligence for not posting warning signs at the beach. The case is expected to go to trial in September. On Thursday, the Assembly will hold an administrative hearing regarding Police Chief Gary Lowe. The Assembly decided at its meeting last week to hire a hearing officer and hold a hearing to discuss Lowe's personnel evaluation and complaints against him by employees. The hearing is scheduled for Thursday, and although the borough had to issue a public notice of the meeting, the hearing is not expected to be open to the public. Also this week, the Assembly will receive Board of Equalization training in preparation for the Board of Equalization that will take place on April 29th. Several property tax assessment appeals are expected at the board since the recent assessment saw some property values increase drastically. But also this week, the state assessor is coming to Haynes to present on how mass appraisals are conducted. The public is encouraged to attend that presentation Wednesday at 6:30 in Assembly Chambers. And this week in Skagway, a Committee of the Whole meeting with the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority scheduled for Thursday before the Assembly meeting has been postponed. The Assembly meeting is still scheduled for 7 p.m. Sea Alaska Corporation has a new board member. Richard Reinhardt Jr. was appointed at the Regional Native Corporation's board meeting last week in Juneau. Reinhardt was Sea Alaska's chief financial officer and corporate controller from 2003 to 2009. He is from Wrangell and is a managing partner at Raven Potlatch Real Estate in Bellevue, Washington. He's run for the board several times, starting in 1995.
You know, it's just it's something I wanted to do for a long time, and I just feel really honored and quite humble about it all. I understand there were many qualified candidates, and I know Sea Alaska has a number of qualified shareholders, so I was just glad they chose me.
Reinhart says he hopes to apply his familiarity with the corporation and his business expertise while on the board. That includes SeaAlaska's effort to develop new ventures within Southeast. He fills a seat left open when Clarice Thompson Sr. of CAKE died earlier this year. Jackson was on the board since the corporation's beginning.
He'll be greatly missed, and I'm, you know, honored to fill that position for this remaining few months of his term. But I think I'm there as a SeaAlaska person, not as somebody to replace Clarence.
Reinhart is one of 13 SeaAlaska board members. He'll run for re-election in this spring's shareholder elections. His business, Raven Potlatch Real Estate, works with tribal and other investors. It's worked on housing projects in petroleum-producing regions.
I just seen a huge opportunity with all the explosive growth in western North Dakota from the oil exploration that's happening out there, and then coupling that with extreme lack of housing. It's kind of the fastest growing area in the country as far as housing development and growth.
Reinhart is of Tlingit and Haida descent. SeaAlaska has about 21,000 shareholders, and many of those not living in Alaska are in Washington State. Also last week at their board meeting, SeaAlaska directors approved the spring distribution of shareholder dividends. Tribal members who are also enrolled in Native Village Corporations will receive almost $700, so will enrolled descendants of shareholders. Those also enrolled in an urban Native corporation will get a little more than $150. Those amounts are based on ownership of 100 shares of stock. Some members of the Juneau-based regional Native corporation have more or fewer shares due to inheritance or gifting. Much of the dividend, close to $550, comes from a pool of regional Native corporation resource earnings. Most of that money comes from Northwest Alaska's Nana, an owner of the Red Dog Mine. SeaAlaska's urban shareholders receive that part of their dividend directly. The corporation pays village members' shares to their local corporations, which decide whether to pass it on. Last spring's distribution was about 20% more for urban shareholders and about the same amount less for village members. Close to half of SeaAlaska shareholders live in Southeast Alaska, with about 200 in the Haines and Clequan area. A new hatchery chum salmon project is underway for the Southeast Alaska community of CAKE. It's a joint project involving the Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, or ENSRA, based in Sitka, and CAKE's Gunnett Creek Hatchery. ENSRA General Manager Steve Reifenstuhl said 9.5 million chum salmon fry were moved in early March from the Hidden Falls Hatchery on Baranoff Island to Gunnett Creek's Southeast Cove near CAKE.
Those are being reared right now. They're growing well. And we're, helping Gunnett Creek with raising their fish because we're operating at the same site. The primary difference in the two programs is that we're going to raise our fish to 4.0 grams, so a much larger fry before we release, whereas Gunnett Creek is going to do the traditional, right around 2 grams size for release.
Gunnett Creek already produces hatchery chum from the Southeast Cove remote site and from its facility in CAKE on the nearby Kuprinoff Island. The new ENSRA chums at Southeast Cove will be released in late May. Some of the first returning fish from that new release could be back in 2 to 3 years. However, it won't be until 2017 before 4-year-old chums would return in numbers if the program is successful. Reifenstuhl calls it an experiment to see if larger fry release size will help chum return to the CAKE hatchery.
I'm thrilled to be involved in a new project and working with another hatchery program, and one that has not done exceedingly well in the last 5 or 6 years. And I'm hoping that this 4.0 program will be a model for really improving marine survival there. So if in 3 years we see a big bump in survival on our 4.0 fish, then Gunnett Creek can then decide to go ahead and do the same thing with their program.
Reifenstuhl said other hatchery organizations have had success raising their fish to larger size before they're released. That approach takes more time and money, however, but the larger fry are more likely to move offshore once they're released and less vulnerable to predators, especially humpback whales. Haines Elementary School did a little celebrating last week, taking advantage of some spring-like weather for a barbecue and parade. The school was celebrating its distinction of being named a Title I school, one of only two in the state and 61 in the nation this year. The Title I Distinguished Schools recognition honors schools that have outstanding student achievement and have closed achievement gaps between student groups. Haines Elementary was selected because of improved test scores among special education students. 10 schools in the state were invited to apply for the distinction, and 2 were chosen from the applicants. A group from Haines Elementary attended the National One Title Conference in January, and last week the entire elementary school joined in the celebration.
For the Mighty Glacier Bears! Woo!
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. Don't forget, on our KHNS News webpage, you can find more than just your local news. We have links to news sources from around the region, state, greater U.S., and Canada. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.